Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a WWJ News Special. A new year, a new auto industry. Car makers are reinventing themselves as technology companies and are at the big CES technology show in Las Vegas this week in force. Next week's auto show here in Detroit will also focus on change. With more, here's WWJ Auto Beat reporter Jeff Gilbert from the ZF booth in Las Vegas.
Welcome to the biggest tech show of the year, and the auto industry is a big part of it.
CES has transformed into a place where automotive and, I'll say, mobility technology is being slammed together.
Automotive grade is actually the hardest grade of all to build products for.
It's not just writing the software, it's building a fully integrated vehicle, and then it's operating lots of those in a city.
Here at CES, they have halls filled with big TVs that have better and better resolution, some games. I even found a yacht and a helicopter. But car makers see this as serious business. They're bringing the building blocks of autonomy. They're even demonstrating self-driving cars. We'll take one up and down the strip. They're also looking at all kinds of cool new mobility options, and they've got some life-saving technology as well. We experience that and more this week, and in the next hour, we'll share that with you and also give you a sneak preview of next week's North American International Auto Show. Helping us navigate things, two experts from IHS Market, David Trippany and Stephanie Brindley. We'll start with you, Stephanie. What's your main CES takeaway?
Mostly that level 4 and level 5 autonomous vehicles are still quite a ways down the road. But the other thing is that suppliers and automakers are looking at it, trying to figure out how to develop and deploy some of the technologies that will be used for L4 and L5 faster in conjunction with the driver to make people on the road safer today.
Does that mean maybe we've got a little more sense of realism?
Realism for sure, right? The industry perhaps wasn't aware of the complexity of the problem, or the awareness was there. But the hype was certainly pushing everyone to be a little bit more aggressive.
And Stephanie, you, of course, cover the auto angle of things as well. In a lot of auto companies out there, a lot of them trying to make an impression. Did they succeed?
You know, Hyundai was talking about a little bit more of their vision. Nissan talked about more of their vision. Toyota. But a lot of this was an extension of what we've heard before.
David, are car companies starting to get some respect from the tech industry?
There's certainly a lot of overlap with the tech industry now. The introduction, so to speak, of virtual personal assistants, that was probably one of the big takeaways for me for the show. Not only did you see the VPAs like Alexa and Hey Google, the incorporation of those technologies into the automobile, for sure. Mercedes, when they launched the CLA this year, you know, they led off with the Hey Mercedes ad.
When I walked around Las Vegas, Mercedes was there in force, BMW, they had this big building they constructed in the parking lot. Audi was there. I don't think I'm going to see them in Cobo next week. So why were they there and not here?
Yeah, we're seeing changes in auto shows, and it's not simply Detroit versus CES. There's different places to introduce vehicles, and that just continues to grow. And that's some of the changes that we're seeing. And we saw a little bit of that this year.
Stephanie and David will join us as we wrap up the show. But now we're going to talk to some of the people who are leading the mobility revolution. That's coming up next as our special program from CES continues on WWJ News Radio 950.
This is a WWJ News Special. A new year, a new auto industry. Back to WWJ Auto Beat reporter Jeff Gilbert at the ZF booth at CES in Las Vegas.
This is not an auto show, but in many ways it feels like one. The public is not invited. So if you take the analogy of the North American International Auto Show in Detroit, you've got industry days, you've got press days, but no public days. And you see a little bit of blurring among the people who are here. Frankly, you walk around these halls for a few days, you can see that CES is kind of loose with its definition of who gets to come. So that means there are a lot of people here looking at a lot of different stuff.
CES has transformed into a place where automotive and, I'll say, mobility technology is being slammed together with the mobile industry and all other technology for consumers.
Cody Klimp is with supplier IAV. More on what he's showing a little bit later. The major car makers are all here, and often they have their top executives here. Bob Carter is the vice president of Toyota.
Cars are being innovated in the entire industry like we've never seen before. Going from the traditional automotive technologies to the computerized digital technologies. We're seeing a convergence of the cars we drive today and in the future. So our view, my view, is CES is as important to communicate our advancements of technology as our auto shows and different venues across throughout the U.S.
At Ford, this event is very big because they want to be thought of as a mobility provider. And we spent some time here with Marcy Cleavorn. She's Ford's president of mobility. We're at CES. What's the impression that you want to make with people you're reaching out to here at CES?
Here at CES, I think we have a couple purposes. Number one, just to continue the story that we started last year around smart vehicles in a smart world, and also building on our brand, which represents trust that we think is so important in this world of mobility.
A show like CES is really a fusion of car companies and tech companies. Again, a line that's blurring as people want more consumer items in their vehicles, and they want them now.
They don't necessarily care that the vehicle might not, that cycle might not move at that pace. So we have to figure out how to have our surrounding technology move at the pace to provide fresh information, fresh content that meets customers' expectations that have been created.
As somebody in the tech field with an auto company, do you get time to walk around and look at some of the consumer gadgets here and go, this may or may not be a good idea for an automobile?
You're spot on, actually. It's so important to be in touch with the consumer trends because they do find their way almost everywhere, in the vehicle, in the office, and in the home. And one of our goals is to make it really a seamless experience between all those important places in people's lives.
Then there's Ford X. It's a part of the company that looks at new mobility ventures, things from scooters to new technologies. Sonny Madra heads that Ford X effort. He's a Silicon Valley veteran who's trying to infuse that startup mentality into a century-old car company.
You know, that DNA exists in, you know, Ford's always been an innovator. What we really are bringing to the table now is bringing that from the tech side, right? Ford has always been innovative on automotive technology, and we bring the tech thinking and kind of combine that all together.
GM, meanwhile, wants to launch a limited self-driving ride-hailing service sometime this year. They're getting their Cruise Automation unit in shape for the launch. Former GM President Dan Ammann is now the Cruise CEO, but Cruise was actually founded by Kyle Vogt, who remains the point person for GM self-driving cars.
I've been working on Cruise for the last 5 years, but I first had the idea when I was 13 years old on a road trip across the country with my dad. We were going down a two-lane highway, just a straight shot across western Kansas for hours. And I just thought to myself, that is such a waste of our most precious commodity, which is our time.
You talked about when you were younger, coming up with the idea, with the thoughts. Now that you've developed this technology and GM and Cruise are prepared to launch it in the next year or so, how are the realities different than your youthful expectations?
Well, everything seems easy when you're 13 years old. but I think the reality is everyone who started working on this problem, it's like an onion or something. You peel back a layer, you know, appears simple on the outside, and then you peel back a layer and you find out there's more. And the problem is more and more complex. There's more things you didn't think about. It's not just writing the software. It's building a fully integrated vehicle, and then it's operating lots of those in a city, and it's figuring out how to maintain them, clean them, charge them, and have this whole ecosystem operate in equilibrium, to actually result in a successful business. And so I'd say it's both the depth and complexity of the self-driving technical problem, but also the breadth of the amount of things that you have to do to successfully operate a business in this space. So it is a large, complex problem, but one that's absolutely worth the effort.
Now, Toyota sees things differently. Full automation, what they call a chauffeur service, it's being worked on. In fact, some of that's being worked on in Michigan. But the timetable is vague. So short-term, Toyota Research Institute President Gil Pratt says they could have something on the market in the next few years that they're now calling Guardian. Think Guardian Angel.
The Guardian system that we're talking about is one that takes into account every sensor that there is. and tries to come up with true situational awareness of what's going on around the car. That's the perception part. And then it uses a lot of statistics and deep learning to try to make a prediction of what's likely to happen. And then finally makes an assessment of the risk that the driver would have if the guardian system allowed them to continue to control the car. And then makes a decision to sort of intervene if necessary at one of three levels, either to warn, to add some control in conjunction in a blended way with what the human driver is doing, or only if it's necessary to take complete control of the car for a short time.
Pratt says it could actually license the Guardian system to other car makers. Well, enough talk about self-driving vehicles. Let's get out and experience one. That's next as our special program from CES in Las Vegas continues on WWJ News Radio 950.
This is a WWJ News Special. A new year, a new auto industry. Back to WWJ Auto Beat reporter Jeff Gilbert at the ZF booth at CES in Las Vegas.
We're specifically looking at the auto industry's presence here at the biggest tech show in the world, and there are a lot of self-driving vehicle concepts here, but there's also a fleet of automated vehicles on the roads here in Las Vegas already. They're from Troy-based supplier Aptiv, working with Lyft, and we went for a ride. Hands-free, of course.
So we're going to take a ride through Vegas in our BMW 540 automated driving vehicle. And this vehicle is fully equipped with all of the sensors and the compute and the software to basically achieve level 4 driving capability.
That's full automation with the driver able to intervene, which our safety driver did once during our 45-minute ride to deal with some surprise construction. Glenn DeVos, who's the chief technical officer at Aptiv, says they now have 30 vehicles operating on the Lyft network here. They've accumulated 30,000 rides with a 4.95 driver rating, and that's pretty good. They have a couple of dozen test vehicles here as well. Aptiv recently opening an operations center here in Las Vegas. DeVos says they're learning a lot about making a vehicle drive itself.
The other thing we do is we learn about how the operation needs to work. It's one thing to have an automated vehicle, but you need to be able to deploy it successfully and maintain that fleet. And so that's what the operations center in here in Vegas does.
Aptiv is working on its next generation automated vehicle out next year, which DeVos says will not need a safety driver. Now, projects like this give people some familiarity with automated vehicles, but the industry says a lot more needs to be done, as some people think self-driving vehicles are just around the corner and others are afraid to get into one. Enter PAVE, Partners for Automated Vehicle Education. It's a coalition of car makers, tech companies, nonprofits, and academics whose goal is to educate people on vehicle automation. Deborah Herzman has a unique background. She once led the National Transportation Safety Board, now leads the National Safety Council, and will soon be a part of Google's self-driving car arm, Waymo.
It's about educating the public so that they understand the real benefits, but also that they understand the limitations. The AAA Foundation just released a survey that 40% of the public think automated vehicles are already on the roads today, that they're out there. But we also know that in our cars today, there's a tremendous amount of technology. 40% of the public has been startled or surprised by something that their traditional car has done. We know we've got to educate the public about what's going on with technology in our vehicles.
Also a part of this effort, the National Federation for the Blind. Their president, Mark Riccobono, has been involved in automated vehicle programs for years. In fact, he became the first blind individual to use technology to drive the Daytona Speedway.
We want equal access to this new technology, and we want it from the beginning. Why? Well, because today, 100% of accidents on the roads are caused by sighted drivers. Well, but more importantly, because bringing greater freedom and mobility to those who are not currently part of the driving class is what will truly be transformative for our nation.
Car makers and suppliers doing a better job of packaging the parts that make vehicles self-driving. Magneti Morelli, North America's CEO Gene Spector, showing off Smart Corner, which puts those sensors in an area near the headlamp.
The vehicle is able to keep the aesthetics. It's still beautiful. It doesn't have any moving parts on the roof or on the hood or on the rearview mirrors. And you still get a 360-degree view of what's going on around you.
Now let's take a couple of minutes looking at something completely different. Harley is showing off something it calls LiveWire. Vice President Mark McAllister says it's North America's first connected electric motorcycle.
LiveWire is the first, the halo product of our platform of EV. Our mission is to electrify the sport of motorcycling and grow the next generation of Harley-Davidson riders. So we are really excited about this launch.
Why do you think the time is right now for an electric Harley?
Well, I think we spend a lot of time understanding the market and understanding consumers and where the two-wheel market is going when it comes to the freedom of expression in the two-wheel space. And really, the motorcycle market has been, in the Western world, has been declining, particularly here in the United States. And we need to inspire a movement towards for the next generation of riders. And when you look at that, the power of the urban rider and the urban commuter come through in very strongly.
The connectivity technology comes from Panasonic. Here's Vice President Alan Kudla.
We've been talking with them for several years, quite frankly, and we're waiting for the right opportunity and the right vehicle and how they wanted to differentiate themselves and where we could help. And this seemed like the logical spot, you know, especially it being on an electrified bike.
Panasonic is also getting involved in e-bikes, bicycles that have electric assist. Now, there are many e-bikes that aim to be used by daily commuters. Vice President Reed Zagetti says these particular bikes are aimed at serious bicyclists.
So, for example, on Saturday afternoon, if you're a cyclist enthusiast, maybe Saturday felt previously like a selfish day where you were alone. But with an e-bike, 2 8-year-olds or an 8-year-old or a 14-year-old and a middle-aged person, and then maybe their 65, 75, 80-year-old grandparent, everybody can start and finish the day over the same terrain, and everyone is at parity, and that's what the e-bike brings.
Now, there's a different take on that bicycle concept here in Las Vegas. It's very different, and that's coming up next as we continue with our special program from CES on WWJ News Radio 950.
This is a WWJ News Special, a new year, a new auto industry. Back to WWJ Autobee reporter Jeff Gilbert at the ZF booth at CES in Las Vegas.
Autonomy has taken up a lot of our time as we're halfway through our look at this big tech show and the auto industry's role in it. And of course, we'll get back to that subject again before we finish. But I think we did discover a new vehicle category this week, the biohybrid.
The biohybrid is a car that is based on an e-bike powertrain. This is a car that cannot fall down like a bicycle, but still can use bicycle lanes. In all of the major cities, they are building thousands of kilometers and miles for these kind of bicycle highways.
So according to Peter Guzman of Schaeffler, they found an interesting niche for areas that are emphasizing bicycles. It's a four-wheel version of a bike, which gives you the opportunity for more room and to carry more. You can configure it with a roof, maybe even a pickup-type bed. An electric motor assists your pedaling, hence the name biohybrid. Now, Schaeffler also has something here at the extreme performance end, an electric race car introduced by Nico Rosberg, who was a 2016 Formula One champ.
The whole powertrain is within the wheel, yeah, on each corner. And so to integrate this into the whole concept was really quite a mission, and we came to a really successful conclusion.
One thing we've seen a lot of here in Las Vegas is automated shuttles. ZF is working with a startup on the Ego Mover, which can move people or cargo autonomously. ZF CEO Wolf Henning Scheider says one of the first customers is French mobility provider Transdev. They're going to use these in several European locations.
As long as these fully automatic vehicles are more in restricted or, let's say, geofenced areas. Yeah. So our Ego Mover will run in fall of this year in a city, but it's a very defined line.
ZF is looking to build 10,000 of the Ego Mover shuttles, which are electric, automated, and fully connected. Supplier Continental is working on various kinds of automation technologies and learning a lot as they go, says board member Helmut Machi.
This is a very continuous process because while doing something on the job, this is something where then there is also the learning on the job.
Continental is working on a number of systems, including automated deliveries of packages. One of them includes a kind of cute dog-like robot that takes a package from an autonomous shuttle to your front door. It's just a concept right now. They also have systems that can park a vehicle for you even if you're not in it, a limited system that's coming very soon. Meanwhile, Magna's Edco Smith demonstrating their system called Autonomous Valet.
The Autonomous Valet will let you pull up to the front door of the office where you're going to have your meeting. If you're late for the meeting and if it's raining and the parking lot's full, you can just pull up to the front of the building, get out of the car and use your cell phone, the app on your cell phone, to tell the car to go find the parking space and park itself.
Even doors are becoming more high-tech. Eichen's Brian Schneebly bringing a concept vehicle here to CES loaded with technology, including a smartphone app that can set up the way that your door interacts with you.
Before it was maybe you wiggle your feet underneath the car and the door opens. But now with technology, as you're approaching the door, you've already set it up on your phone to say, hey, when I leave the store, I'm currently paying using my phone. I got 5 bags and my child with me. When I walk up to the door, I want it to know I'm there and I want it to know I have stuff in my hands.
Now these days, keys are very passe when it comes to starting or entering a vehicle. Fobs are here, smartphones are starting to come into the situation, but next comes biometrics, maybe starting with your fingerprint. Cody Klimp of supplier IAV with some technology that uses facial recognition, and they're going to start small at first.
And that allows basically you to ID yourself into the vehicle, and that information would then be able to be set up climate chambers, your climate around in the vehicle. You'd be also be able to set up your radio stations, your seat positions, your mirror positions, all of that information in that.
So it's long-term, could that be set up to actually identify yourself instead of a key?
Absolutely. That's what it's intended for. We're looking at short-term solutions and then ultimately some of the long-term solutions as well.
IAV also has some tech that protects your privacy and fun tech that could project a movie on the windshield of a driverless car in the future and maybe on the side window of a bus in the nearer-term future. Now, much of that technology that we've been talking about this hour does work with connectivity, and the pipeline for that connectivity is getting bigger. That's why Ford's Marcy Claiborne says they're all in on 5G, both as a way to connect vehicles to the cloud, but also connect vehicles to the infrastructure.
5G will be, happen globally, and you don't have to have different kinds of technologies depending on the geography. So it kind of can simplify things too.
This show is also a great place for suppliers and car makers to interact. And as we've talked about many times, the show attracts people who are not traditional suppliers. Let's get back to Gil Pratt of Toyota. He heads their research institute, and we talked to him about how they work with suppliers.
We also have a lot of work that we do with startups, including many that you see here at CES, who are brand new to the car field and who have no idea that automotive grade is actually the hardest grade of all to build products for, okay? That military grade, believe it or not, is easier than automotive grade. You know, that's just, when I first learned it, I said, you gotta be kidding me. But if you wanna make something that lasts for at least 10 years in the greatest cold, the greatest heat, rain, snow, you know, all of the things, and hardly ever breaks down, that's, you know, the auto-grade parts. And, of course, we need lots and lots of help there.
Pratt, by the way, will be coming to the North American International Auto Show in Detroit, and maybe it's time to take a look at what's coming up for that big show in our own backyard. We will check that out next as our special program from CES in Las Vegas continues on WWJ News Radio 950.
This is a WWJ News Special. A new year, a new auto industry. Back to WWJ Autobee reporter Jeff Gilbert at the ZF booth at CES in Las Vegas.
We've been spending this hour taking a look at all of the interesting technology here in Las Vegas as it relates to the auto show. But let's leave Vegas for just a minute or two and take a look at what's coming up next. The North American International Auto Show in Detroit. Bill Golling is chairman of this year's show.
So the show floor will have obviously the beautiful displays that we've had in the past. We'll have 750 cars on the floor. It'll be a very exciting thing. And as always, the show starts on out with press preview, industry days, the charity preview, and then right into the public days, plus the automobility as well. So we've got 150,000 square feet of the world of technology and what the changes are coming to it.
Now, with the German luxury brands out, does that mean the people who are staying will get more space?
No, everybody is pretty well staying in the same amount of space that they had in the past. The show floor is moving around a little bit. For instance, a couple of manufacturers are moving on up to where those others were. But again, these types of things are happening at auto shows throughout the world.
As you heard Bill reference, the European luxury brands are gone, so that also means space to do some actual ride events inside Cobo during the public show. And this is the last January show. It moves to June next year. With the changes in auto shows in general, Executive Director Rod Albert said they had to get out in front of things.
You know, we've been looking at this for a couple of years. Of course, the whole automobile industry has gone through a transformation. And we took a close look at it, realized that from a standpoint of auto shows, maybe the traditional auto show needs to relook at what we've been doing. We've had a great 30 years, and we got a great show even now. We came off a year this past year with incredible media metrics. But I think the timing and the change of what the OEMs are looking for, the auto companies and suppliers, and a way to showcase to the world all these technologies, and a lot of them coming out of Detroit and Michigan. But we can do it a way nobody else can.
And that'll mean more outside and a lot of people moving around a reborn downtown Detroit starting in the summer of 2020. And auto show organizers have been traveling the world with a message to car makers. We caught up with the chair of the 2020 show, Doug North, at last fall's Paris Auto Show.
That really is most of the conversation right now because everybody's very curious and really excited about the move. And they're interested in having the possibility of outdoor activations and that kind of thing. So it's really a big change for us, and it gets an awful lot of questions. And I might add that we will have 14 acres outside of Cobo, which will basically move back and forth from inside to outside. So we really have a great amount of space with Hart Plaza, and we're really excited about creating that kind of environment.
Now, being the chair of a essentially rebooted show, does that kind of like jumping in the pool at the deep end?
Well, as someone said to me recently, you're going to be famous one way or the other. You're going to sink or swim. But no, we're excited because we're really trying to take what's best in our show right now, add to it, make it better, and we're doing it at a time of year when people are really excited to be outside and downtown. And so I don't really think there's a way to lose here. We have to continue to improve it, like everybody does with everything they present to the public and to the community. So we're really excited about it.
And we've already seen introductions for the upcoming auto show. Ford taking the wraps off of a new Explorer. Lee Newcomb is marketing chief.
We've added a tremendous amount of valued standard content, 8-inch touchscreens, a great exterior appearance, LED headlamps, increased range, improved powertrains. So we've really taken the current Explorer, which resonates with so many people, and we've just stepped it up to the next level.
That follows the unveil of a new Lincoln Aviator at the LA Auto Show. Lincoln's marketing director, Robert Parker, showing off a grand touring version that's also a plug-in hybrid and is the fastest Lincoln ever. And it seems like it sends a message that electrification isn't just about having a fuel-sipping hybrid. It can also be about adding performance.
It's come so far. When you think about it, you know, certainly within my career over the last several years, it is migrated from all about fuel economy to now it's moving into an era of performance, and that's quite exciting.
You'll see that new Aviator at the Detroit show, as well as a version of the Continental with coach doors that open from the middle, what they used to call suicide doors. Also another head turner from the LA show will be here in Detroit, the Jeep Gladiator. It's based on the Wrangler, but Jeep Chief Tim Kaniskis says it'll compete in the growing midsize pickup market.
We're super excited about this new entry. Number one, it gives us access to a segment that we haven't been in since 1992. And not only that, it's a segment that's absolutely exploding right now. I mean, the segment has doubled in the last 4 years, and we see it going up significantly more in the next couple of years. So we're excited to go into that space, and we're excited to go into that space with something that is very uniquely Jeep and totally different than anything else out there.
There will be a lot of sports cars coming to the auto show. A Ford Mustang Shelby GT500, a reborn Toyota Supra, and, says Toyota Vice President Bob Carter, a Lexus sports car.
Well, we're going to be introducing an all-new RCF redone car. But what we're really going to feature is, that we're very excited about, is an RCF track edition.
And at the end of the day, auto shows are about selling vehicles. That's why the Detroit show is organized by the Detroit Auto Dealers Association. And the chairman every year, like Bill Golling this year, are always dealers.
It is always a great time to show wares of all of our products. I mean, 800,000 plus people come through the show. And we've always had, it's always kicked off our spring selling business through the January, which, by the way, we fully anticipate when the show moves to June, the same thing will happen for the month of June.
Are you going to burn your parka after this show?
I'll tell you what, it's going to be nice not having to worry about coat check and snow in your feet all the time going forward.
No snow here in Las Vegas, and we'll wrap things up next as our special program from CES continues on WWJ News Radio 950.
This is a WWJ News Special, a new year, a new auto industry. Back to WWJ AutoBee reporter Jeff Gilbert at the ZF booth at CES in Las Vegas.
We have taken a ride in an autonomous vehicle, looked at the building blocks of autonomy, and looked a lot at the other kind of auto tech that's here at CES. Now let's return to our roundtable of analysts from IHS Market, Stephanie Brindley and David Trippany. So, David, we started with Stephanie the first time around. We'll start with you. Are we starting to, we hit on this before a bit, move into a period of more realistic expectations when it comes to automated driving?
Yeah, without getting into the numbers and the forecast for sure, you see a lot of the suppliers kind of take a step back and show the mobility solutions, you know, the pods, so to speak, of to transport people rather than the solutions integrated into personal automobiles.
And Stephanie, you know, you more heavily cover the automakers. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a huge rush of car makers to CES. We've got to be at CES. Well, I was chatting with somebody from GM a few days before I went to CES, and well, they were the first automaker to make a big splash. They're like, oh yeah, so what? Been that, you know, been there, done that. What do you think the auto company's view, not the supplier, but the OEM, what's their view of CES and how do they use it to their advantage?
You know, I mentioned earlier the number of platforms for telling different stories, and that's the thing, that one of the takeaways there is whether it's CES or the Detroit Auto Show or the Paris Auto Show, you don't absolutely have to be anywhere. You just show up where you have the right story to tell, and this year GM had a different story, and it didn't fit with them. And I think Ford was first, actually, with Sync to show up at CES. But it makes for more interesting dynamics at shows, I think, because you get stories that are tailored in different ways.
And I'm going back just in my memory to the time that Rick Wagner gave the keynote there in Alamo Valley. The next year, there was no automotive keynote there. But David, there were a lot of suppliers there. And it seems like this is becoming a bigger and bigger deal for auto suppliers who have the technology.
Yeah, it's certainly an opportunity for them to showcase their products. And you see a lot of the automated driving suppliers and some ones that we haven't seen before that are just starting to show up on our radar. You know, lots of new companies getting into the game of LiDAR and cameras and other types of sensors.
Another element of CES relative to the interaction between suppliers and automakers and tech companies that are trying to break in is that the CES show is a business-to-business show. The fundamental purpose of that is to go in and show your wares and say, hey, this is what I'm working on, and do you want to come work with me? And to be able for the engineers and different people at the companies to walk around the show and say, this is new technology, I want to see how to integrate it. So that changes the dynamic of the show and gives it a really interesting feel.
Will CES be different next year when there is no auto show in Detroit right next to it?
That's a really good question. I think there's a little bit of wait and see because, it depends on what automakers have to say relative to technology and to automated driving and to things like virtual personal assistants. If there's not a lot to say, there's not a lot of reason to be there. Auto shows and CES in different environments are also really expensive to do. And you don't, you don't have to be anywhere. So you only make the investment and take the time if you have news to share.
What are your expectations as we shift from CES to the North American International Auto Show in Detroit?
It does appear to be a more muted show than we've seen in recent years, but it follows the pattern of recent years. And if you look at some of the automakers that aren't showing up this year, some of it has to do with just what they have to show. We won't see Acura have a press conference this year, but they don't have a new product to show. So product cadence is certainly part of it. The opportunity to be able to reveal things anywhere in the world at this point is certainly part of it as well. I think it's more to do with cadence and more to do with each company's different communication strategies than it does the fact that it's the last January show.
So it's not necessarily auto shows are dead because we saw a lot of product in Los Angeles. It's that maybe car makers are using them strategically and they don't believe they have to spend the money just to be everywhere.
Absolutely. And I think I'm looking forward to see, I think we'll see in Detroit, and we definitely saw in LA, more quality. I want to see introductions that are products that are relevant, that are important to the brand or to the industry in whatever way they were, rather than necessarily sitting through a press conference that says, last year is over, we sold X cars, and we're just going to talk to you about that for 5 minutes. I mean, it's really, that's one of the benefits for us as we go to see shows. We will be able to see quality news.
And it's also important to note that sometimes the sexiest products aren't the most, I should say it the other way around, the most important products aren't necessarily the sexiest products. We have already seen a new Ford Explorer unveiled for the auto show, and for those of us who are trying to write stories about it, there's not a lot of sizzle there, but boy, that's an important vehicle for Ford.
Yeah, it's one of Ford's top sellers. It's a bestseller in the segment, and it's a tough segment that is seeing increasing competition. Not only are we going to see the Ford Explorer in Detroit, but Kia's Telluride will be there. Hyundai just showed a Palisade. That three-row segment is getting more and more crowded, and so it's more and more important to make sure that you come to market with everything that your consumer wants. Ford is going to have to make sure that they leverage their experience in that space.
And back to you, David, back to CES. What do you think is the importance of that show, CES, going forward to the auto industry?
Well, we're certainly starting to see a lot of, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of the tech industry bleed over into the automotive industry. So for example, Samsung is showing their cockpit of the future prototype or mock-up at CES. LG is starting to bleed some of their OLED technologies into automotive. So it's really that kind of blending of what the consumer interacts with in their everyday life outside of the automobile into once they get into the automobile and that environment and how those things kind of coagulate together.
David Trippany, Stephanie Brindley from IHS Market, thank you both for joining us. That wraps up our program. Stay with WWJ and WWJNewsRadio.com for complete auto coverage. And, of course, come back next week for coverage of that other important show, the North American International Auto Show. For the entire WWJ News team, I'm AutoBeat reporter Jeff Gilbert.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.